2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Degenovic. All right, here we go. A new conversation on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM at 1160 AM.
Merry Christmas, parents. It's back to school this week.
I don't know if it's as great a news as you're making it feel like. This isn't Christmas.
Hey, it is the first day of school for major school districts. Canyon, Salt Lake, Granite, just to name a few. Dave's got 24 more hours, though, until he can.
I don't know why we start on Tuesday. How arbitrary is that? I don't know. Davis School District, let's do Tuesday. Let's not rush into it. I don't know. I don't understand the school schedule. But, Debbie, I don't know what this celebration thing is. I'm sad. I hate that summer's over, and it seems like this one went faster than the rest.
Why?
We are having so much fun, doing so much yard work.
I partied when my kids went back. In fact, I think I would try to take the first day back to school off of work just so I could go on a hike, so nobody knew where I was, get lost in the backcountry for a while, maybe take a spa day. No, Dave, it was a joyous occasion for me because I spent the entire summer, except for the 2 weeks I took off to be with the kids, answering phone calls from my home about, you know, my one kid getting duct taped to the office chair and spun around and the other kid in the backyard building Mento bombs.
That sounds like an amazing summer. Mento bombs and spinning around and getting super dizzy until you throw up. That sounds like what summer is. But you're just saying it wears mom out.
It wears mom out. So do you go home and cry or do you party? How do you feel? Are you going to go home and be really sad about it?
Yeah, I'm sad.
You are?
Yeah, I'm sad because the worst part about it is now my relationship with my kids has totally changed. Now it has turned into, okay, hey, what do you have? What homework do you have? What's up next? And it becomes very businesslike. I'm like the CEO. I come in. I'm checking in on the employees. How are you guys doing? Have you completed your assignments yet? Oh, you haven't? Well, you're fired.
Do you micromanage them by doing their book reports and their science projects?
I can neither confirm nor deny how many book reports I've written. Dad, have you read this book? Yeah. Will you explain it to me? Verbatim. Word for word, exactly the plot, the analysis, the personification.
And one mom I read about on ABC News on their app celebrated by dropping her kids off at school and then she headed straight to Disney World. She just lives down the street, so it didn't take her long to get there.
She hopped on a flight, had two layovers, went to Disney World.
I feel like going back to school, even though summer was chaotic, just because I was a working mom. I wasn't able to be at home full time with them and patchworking together babysitters and seeing if we could hire a nanny and they would quit on us. Back to school did take away the simple. I knew where my kids were usually. I knew they were okay generally. But when they went back to school, I seemed to morph into like you. I was an air traffic controller, guiding missiles, making sure they all landed in the right places for the next 9 months. And that gets complicated.
Yeah. I don't know. When I look at it, I can see where just pushing the kids off and saying at least for 7-8 hours of the day, they're your worry. They're your worry, school district. Just make sure you return them in relatively the same way that I sent them to you, but even that's a little iffy. You know, if they come back with some holes in the shirt, who cares? No, it does make it easier in some ways. But the problem is school doesn't stop with school anymore. They come home from school and then there's after school projects or there's sporting events and then there's homework. And then school just becomes every aspect of your life. And that's what I regret the most. And this is why I don't look forward to the kids going back to school, because now all of a sudden we shift from the fun parents that like to hang out and do things with our kids and have great conversation to the taskmaster. What do you have going on? Why did you procrastinate this? Why won't you read this book? Oh, because it was written in the 1800s and it is super boring for kids. That is what we're dealing with now.
We put this poll on Facebook. Thousands of kids across the state on their way back to the classroom this week. And we want to know, are you excited that your kids are on their way back to school? I'm going to give you the results in the next segment as we continue the conversation. But going back to this mom who headed to Disneyland, I loved her quote, or excuse me, Disney World, after she ditched her kids for the first day of school. She said they were excited for their first day at school. And I was excited for some time alone. It's a small world after all. It's a small world. And then when I saw this stat, Dave, that 30% of parents blame their burnout to pressure or exhaustion from work or managing the home. So 30% of us are burnt out from mostly probably trying to manage both. Do you sense that same burnout that
I
felt?
Yeah, there's no question. Yeah, when you're working and trying to balance this work and kids, it's very difficult. And I think that's why I am so frustrated with the kids going back, because I know as soon as they go back to school, all the fun, all that's over. Because now it's just nonstop schoolwork.
Again, take our Facebook poll. KSL News Radio's Facebook page. Are you excited or sad that your kids are going back to school? And let's talk it out. 801-575-7668. Does it make me a bad mom because I couldn't wait for the first day back to school? Again, 801-575-7668.
Dave and Dujanovic. Later today, Jeff Kaplan reports on the news.
Big discussion on human trafficking.
And he talks about the news.
Bill doesn't meaningfully address the problem.
3 to 7 on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dujanovic.
I cannot believe we have had not one phone call from a parent to admit they were as excited as I was for the kids to go back to school. Let me give you the number, 801-575-7668. It's your time to confess.
So are you a good parent if you're sad, or are you a bad parent if you're happy? I'm curious where people land on this. Are you just happy to ship the kids off to school and be like, hey, teachers, your problem now?
Yep.
That makes you a good parent or a bad parent?
8 weeks into school, into the summer, I could not wait for the school bell to start ringing again. We asked this on Facebook, on our KSL News Radio Facebook page. You can give us a follow there. Are you excited that your kids are on their way back? 71% agree with me that they're super excited. Not at all sad that their kids are heading back to school today.
And see, I'm super sad. I'm very sad because the biggest problem I have with school is it turns my relationship with my kids into a business.
Just the facts, ma'am.
That's how I feel. Hey, honey, how was your day? And she's like, oh, Dad, I had the best. I met a boy.
Just the facts, ma'am.
I need to know exactly what assignments you have coming up. What is your game plan to attack these? Are you going to get your workout in? You got to get 100 swings in. All of a sudden, it becomes so regimented. And then this summer, where we were just able to sit back and enjoy each other's company, now it's just so scheduled.
The one thing that did make me sad about sending the kids back to school is the price tag. I looked up this study. National Retail Federation just dropped this bombshell. $26 billion that Americans will spend just to send their kids back to school. And no, this doesn't cover college kids. This is K through 12. And then I saw this parody online.
I like them round and big. Backpacks for my kids. They gotta wait a ton, because this shopping list is not fun. We gotta buy this all for two. Double up. I ain't talking about this thing, because the binder has to have three rings. They want them real thick and juicy. That pack of pink erasers and all the papers.
My kids are long since graduated high school, but I started to get like sweats when I was watching this and a headache remembering how much I forgot to budget for back to school costs.
Holy
when my
cow.
Kids were growing up. Just totally spaced it.
Debbie, that was our $1,000 challenge. I kid you not. If we could get back to school in under $1,000, we're going to celebrate. The school fees, hundreds of dollars. Just the basics of clothing. When you buy a new pair of shoes, boom, $40. And then clothes and new pair of pants. I mean, this is the basics. And with my four kids, we were in $1,000, I think.
And that's pretty typical, according to the National Retail Federation, a $700 bill just on things like clothing, shoes, school supplies.
Supplies are crazy.
$117 per family was the number I saw. I felt that was really low. I think somewhere along the line, someone's not admitting what you just admitted, that it's actually $1,000 just to send your kids back to school. That doesn't even include fees.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would be very accurate to what we experienced, because we look at the supplies, and when you're buying three ring binders, mechanical pencils, colored pencils, and then inevitably they'll go to school and then they get sent home with a list of recommended donations to the classroom. Like, how many people have gotten that little note? Hey, if Johnny or Bobby or Susie could donate
baby wipes.
Yes, baby wipes, Kleenex,
hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer. There's so many things. So
dry erase markers.
Hey, you've gotten those too.
Oh my goodness. Does the state supply anything to these teachers? That's what I used to ask. So I just learned that our call in line is down. We're getting our engineers over here to work on that and get that fixed. We've had a few glitches this morning. Of course, it's a Monday. That's why we're struggling a little technically, of course. But it's back to school Monday. That's why Dave and I are talking about it. He's got a 24-hour reprieve until he sends his four kids packing back to the classroom. My kids all graduated, so I just get to sit here and laugh at y'all. But our text line, our Utah Community Credit Union text line, is up and running. This person says, yep, I'm with Dave. Totally agree. They're sad.
It's sad because I just think the way our school schedule runs, it's so regimented. And there's no other way to do it, Debbie. I'm not saying that we could run it any more effectively or that there's some magic pill here. The fact is, from 7 o'clock on until bedtime, just about every minute is scheduled. For my wife, for myself, for the kids. When they come home, it's like, all right, you have 30 minutes to have a snack and relax, and then we got to get onto some things. And sometimes that's self-imposed stuff. And I think maybe the question is, how badly are we over-scheduling our kids? Because I know your kids play a lot of sports. My kids play sports.
Did.
Not now. Now they have all the free time in the world.
Dave, my hair was always on fire.
Yeah.
It just was. In the school year, I was always trying to balance my work here at KSL Television with getting to their games, making sure they had their assignments done, making sure I had dinner on the table. The crock pot became my best friend. I went on and on and on. It was just, it became so insane that by the time school ended in June, I was thrilled. And then I got so sick of it. Summer, by the time they were ready to go back to school, I wanted to celebrate.
Debbie, I have to ask you this. I'm going to put you on this spot right here. What would you have done differently? Is there something you would have done differently in retrospect from the overscheduling of your kids? Because I know your kids were overscheduled. My kids are overscheduled. I think everyone's kids are overscheduled. So what would you do differently if you were to do it again? I'm going to steal your idea and pass it off as my own.
Okay, I'll just lay it all out. You've got to have incredible communication between parents on making sure everybody, each one is doing at least giving 100%. Because the biggest issue I had is I always felt like I was doing everything. The grocery shopping, the cooking, making sure the homework assignments got done. If you're listening, I'm sorry, but this is how it was. And if you want to know the honest to goodness truth, you have to have that conversation. And there has to be a very clear division of roles. You know, some of the science projects were done together, but other times the studying, I was the one helping them make the flashcards. And when you're both working full time, that is an impossible juggling act for one person to saddle, let's say, 75 to 90% of the helping the kids.
Yeah. And I'm definitely guilty.
Sick of cooking dinners.
Yeah. My wife definitely carries the lion's share of the load. And I look at it and I think, what could we do differently? Because that just sounds to me like running it more effectively, more equitably. I wonder, would you have taken your kids out of music lessons or taken them out of some sports team or a comp league? Or
comp league for sure. I would have yanked them all out of the comp leagues, even though we had a great experience. But that was so exhausting because we were driving from St. George to Logan on weekends and then having to come home and get everything done just for school, back to school, like laundry and grocery shopping, make sure I had the meals planned, make sure the homework was done. I would have strongly considered taking them out of comp league, not high school sports, but comp league sports. My kids were only in one sport each. My son asked to play football. I said, no, son, you are a baseball player. You're sticking with that.
We're not playing all the sports. It's curious because I talked to some football players that have already graduated, and they said they regretted playing football just because of the massive time commitment. It's a massive time commitment all through the summer, all through the fall, and next thing you know, oh, my career's over. I'm not going to play college, but look at the time commitment. I wonder, are we taking a serious look, and are we brave enough to stop overscheduling our kids? I'm not that brave.
This mom says, I was thrilled until I saw my son walk into his first day of junior high, seventh grade, and then she cried all the way home.
Because you know what seventh grade means.
Oh.
Seventh grade
fine.
Is the devil.
He's going to be fine. Hey, next. Their baby ate enough heroin to kill a man. Yes, she is dead. And so my question when I read about this morning is this. 3.5 years later, do a Utah mom and dad deserve parole or should we keep them locked up?
That conversation next on Dave and Dujanovic.
Dave and Dujanovic. Get all news all morning. Then go in-depth about the news with Dave and Debbie.
I put your social security number on a billboard.
It would change nothing.
News at 5. Talk at 9 on KSL News Radio.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.